We're going to look at this tonight, the subject of Thomas, more than a doubter. And if you have a Bible, I encourage you to open it, and to open it there. We're reading in John 20, but we're going to be looking at three main passages in John's Gospel as we will look at the subject of Thomas, more than a doubter. Just a quick recap of our children's address, what we learned there about Thomas. He was a twin. He was heroic. He was objecting when he didn't understand. He was missing that first Easter Sunday night. He was amazed, and he was steadfast. And I want to just push a few of the truths that we've been thinking about Thomas just a wee bit further now in our sermon. But we're going to start with doubting Thomas as we look here at John 20. Doubts are a challenge that we all face. I remember, I think I've shared this many times, a friend of mine once was going through a time of doubts, and he went to see Dr. Paisley, and Paisley's response was, "The only thing I doubt is the person who doesn't doubt." And doubts can arise from different sources. It can arise from our own neglect on the means of grace, like Thomas not being there with God's people when he should have been, and if we neglect worship and God's word, indeed, doubts can come. Doubts can come from the sin within us. Maybe the sin within us is wanting us to go a certain path, and in order for us to justify going that path, we begin to question God's truth. Doubts can also come from the devil. Let's never forget about him. It can be a sudden doubt that comes into our mind, or it can be a prolonged attack that the devil does. Always maybe just chipping away, little thoughts coming into us. So doubts are real, and if we doubt, it doesn't mean we're bad, it doesn't mean we've been wrong, but what's important is not that we have doubts, but how do we respond to doubts? The answer to Thomas's doubts was Thomas meeting with Jesus. That's so simple, and yet that is so profound. Now, unlike Thomas, we cannot meet with Jesus physically, but we certainly can meet with Jesus spiritually. There at the end of that passage we read in John 20, John just puts this wee aside, the last two verses. He says, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name." And John is teaching her, it's by dwelling on the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ in his word and the things that have been written that we meet with Jesus. And through this, faith is both produced in us and faith is strengthened in us. So it's by meeting with Jesus in his word that faith comes, and then faith will grow. Do you remember Hebrews 12, a very familiar passage where in these we're told to keep our eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus when you're running the race, the author and perfecter of your faith, the writer of the Hebrews says. So it's by keeping our eyes on Jesus that faith is produced in the first place, and then it's keeping our eyes on Jesus that faith will grow and develop. But going back to what John was saying here after this incident of Thomas, we need to notice something very important here in this verse 31 of John 20. He says, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." You will have life in his name. This faith needs to be a living faith. We need to have this life of Jesus alive in us, real in us. It's as that life of Jesus in us grows, develops, and flourishes that we are strengthened in our faith, that we are protected from weaknesses, and we are protected from doubts. And here we see that dealing with doubts is not just an intellectual exercise of getting the right answer to our questions. Dealing with doubts is about having real spiritual life and vigor. Think of when you're run down. You maybe have been working hard and you've been really at it and you're tired and you're weary. And when you're run down, you know you're prone to maybe picking up other things. Take something like shingles. Shingles comes to people often when they have been run down. When you're run down physically, you're open to physical illnesses. When you're run down spiritually, when the zeal and the vigor is gone, you're open to things like doubts. And the way that we will be strong is to grow and develop. The wee story about the boy who fell out of bed, and he was asked by his dad, "Why did you fall out of bed?" He says, "I stayed too close to where I got in." I love that story. And for many in the Christian life, that's a problem where they struggle and fall. They stay too close to where they got in. They don't grow. They don't develop. They don't mature the way they should. And it's by growing through meeting Jesus, encountering Jesus in his word, that we get strong. When I'm talking to couples about getting married and dealing with the issue of disagreements and fallouts in marriage, what I say to couples is your goal when you have a row, and in a sense your relationship dips, your goal should be not to get it back up to where it was before. Your goal should be to get it higher. Because when you get it higher, when you get your relationship stronger, then it isn't as prone to those other problems. It's the same for a relationship with Christ. Get it high. Get it. Go deep. Don't think that where I'm at now, that's enough. You have to go deeper than where you're at now. You have to go get closer to Christ. You're to develop in your Christian life. And if you don't go forward, the danger you can fall back through things like doubts. So there we have Doubting Thomas in John 20. Got a Bible, flick back to John 14, and we're looking here at Questioning Thomas. We're back to this passage about Jesus going to prepare a place for his disciples. And indeed, there are two ways to look at the question which Thomas raises here. Remember, Thomas says, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" He says that there in verse 5. Now, there are two possible ways to look at that question. First of all, we can think this was a good question from someone who did not understand. And when you don't understand, it's good to ask questions. I have been in a situation, I think I remember one night in one of my previous churches doing a Christianity Explained course in Benburb Church Hall, and there was somebody asked a question. I can't remember what the question was, but when the person asked the question, the whole row behind the person, the heads began to nod. Because that person was asking the question that everybody else was thinking, but too afraid to ask. And there is a good time to ask a question. So was this just a good question for someone who didn't understand? Or was this question from someone who was always negative? And there is a possibility that that was maybe Thomas's character trait, that he was a person whose glass was always half empty. And no matter what was raised up, he would raise an objection. The big question when it comes, the big issue when it comes to our questions is, what is the reason for us questioning God? That is so important. Because Jesus will have loads of sympathy for those who are genuinely struggling and want to be helped in following Jesus. And we can see in how he deals with the disciples, who are often an awkward bunch and slow to learn, his tremendous patience with them. Even when they were slow to grasp the truth of the gospel, the plain truth about him going to die and rising from death, when they could grasp, he still was so patient. He spent years with them in his great patience. Jesus wants us in our struggles to come to him, to raise questions, but also to allow him to lead us into the truth of his word. So when you ask questions of the Lord and you're struggling some, ask the Lord, but you must be prepared for him to answer and to help to lead you on through that. Jesus loves good questions from a good heart. And may our ministers love good questions from good hearts as well. I'm delighted when people ask me good questions. But what Jesus is not happy about is questioning which is done to justify someone not going on with Jesus. I've often said that my problem with the Bible so often are not the bits of the Bible that I don't understand. My problem so often are the bits of the Bible I do understand. And the problem with the parts of the Bible that are plain is that they can be very challenging, and then we can question the truth of God's word as an excuse for not obeying. And I think the Lord has less patience with that. If we're raising objections and questions because we just don't want to obey, we should come and tell the Lord the truth. Lord, I know it's true, but listen, I'm struggling here. And the problem is that people can spiritually get all messed up because they will not accept the truth and the consequences of living it out. We were thinking at one of our drive-ins not so long ago about the spies who went into the promised land, and how 10 of the spies, we said their glass was half empty. They knew it was a lovely land. They knew it was wonderful. But because of fear, they twisted the truth in order to justify not doing the Lord's will. We need the spirit of Joshua and Caleb who interrupted and said, listen, it's a good land. We can take the land. The Lord can enable us to do it. But before we maybe get to that position of being a Joshua and Caleb, we have to go through the struggle sometimes and saying, Lord, I know this is true. I know this is true. I know I should do this. I'm struggling here. Please help me, Lord. And keep coming to the Lord. Keep looking to the Lord. It's by looking to the Lord, keeping our eyes on the Lord, meeting with the Lord, that grace comes to us. The strength of Jesus comes to us to enable us to obey. So we have doubting Thomas, we have questioning Thomas. And then thirdly, we have courageous Thomas. Shooting back now to chapter 11 of John's Gospel and verses 11 to 16. In this incident regarding Lazarus' illness and then his death, there's always the question as to why Jesus remained for 2 days when he heard that Lazarus was sick. But you need to understand this. It actually wouldn't have made any difference if Jesus had gone straight away. Because although he waited 2 days, by the time he got to Bethany, where Lazarus was dead already 4 days. So if he had gone straight away, still Lazarus would have been dead 2 days. One thing we need to realize in the background of this story about Lazarus is that this was a very significant moment in the ministry of Jesus. This was Jesus heading back to Jerusalem, where he was opposed and where he would die. The raising of Lazarus from the dead would have a significant impact on the Jewish leaders, and it would spur them on to increase their efforts to have Jesus killed. What was going to happen here? And this is maybe why Jesus took a bit of time. Maybe Jesus himself needed time to prepare for this because he knew what was ahead. He took time to be ready for this significant event. If you look there in John 11 and verse 45, what it says there, many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. That's in raising Lazarus from the dead. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, what are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish. And it goes on and says that he did that. He prophesied, basically, as high priest. Now, think about that, that Lazarus being raised from the dead was going to just intensify the opposition against Jesus that would lead to his death. So when Thomas earlier said to the other disciples, "Let us go that we may die with him," there was every possibility that that would happen as they were entering a situation that was drawing near to a boiling point. And this just adds just to how brave Thomas was there. Now, we know he failed the Lord, and with the rest, he ran away when Jesus was arrested. But here he does show courage. He did want to stand by Jesus. And in many ways, his words here are unexpected. If the name of the apostle who spoke here had been left out, and you were asked, which disciple at this point said, "Let us go with him and die with him," who said that? I'm sure none of us would have said Thomas. I'm sure most of us probably would have said Peter. This just shows that there was more to Thomas than would first meet the eye. And we need to grasp what is a very important point here. Thomas's courage, which not only caused him to go to Bethany with Jesus, but his courage which would cause him to spend over 40 years in pioneering missionary journeys, which would even lead to his death after Jesus went back to heaven. This courage came from a life filled with doubts, struggles, and questions. This courage did not come from a life in which there were no doubts, no struggles, no questions. I don't know about you, but for me, that is both encouraging and challenging. It's encouraging in the sense that we don't have to be some sort of spiritual superhero to serve the Lord and to be used by the Lord. We don't have to be someone who never goes through struggles. God will use us even with our doubts, our struggles, and our questions. He will use us. But this is also very challenging, because it shows us if we're Christians who have doubts, struggles, and questions, that does not get us out of our responsibility to serve the Lord and to be a witness for Christ. You can't say, "Oh, William, I can't serve the Lord. I can't be a witness for Jesus in my school, in my workplace, in my community." Because listen, William, I'm a person who has doubts and struggles and questions. I can't do this. Do you not get the point from the Bible and from the stories of the apostles, including Thomas? God uses people who struggle. God uses people who have doubts. God uses people who have questions. God uses people who are weak in order to show his strength. I remember the night before I preached my first sermon in a service in a church. I can remember looking at myself in the mirror in our bathroom at home. And I can remember feeling sick and shaking. And I can remember praying, "Lord, take away these nerves." And then I cut myself short and said, "No, Lord, don't take them away. Because when I'm nervous, I'm relying on you and not on myself." Do you get the point? God wants to use those of us who are weak, who are nervous, who have struggles, who have doubts, who have questions. He wants to use us. And having those things does not get us out of it, our responsibility. If you're a Christian here tonight, God has a work for you to do. God has a calling upon your life to serve him and to be his witness. And you cannot be a Christian and say, "Lord, no, I'm going to opt out of that." then you're not a Christian. You have to be a Christian and say, Lord, show me how. And where I'm weak and struggling and doubtful, Lord, make up for my weakness. And one of the things you'll discover is the Lord is more than able to do that. He who is almighty is able to use the weakest of believers to do a mighty work for him. Thomas, more than a doubter, Thomas's, hold your heads up high. Yes, he was doubting Thomas. Yes, he was questioning Thomas. But he was courageous Thomas, steadfast and faithful to the end. May God give us such grace. Let's pray. Father, we, those of us who are Christians, there's always that bit of Thomas in each of us. And Lord, help us when we have those doubts, not to run away, not to listen to the world, not to listen to the lies that will come to us, but to look to Jesus, to trust in Jesus, and to meet with Jesus in his word and in the place of prayer. And Father, help us, Father, to be those who are strengthened in our faith through encountering Jesus. And maybe there's someone here tonight, and Lord, they've never become a Christian. They've never come to that point of faith. Help them to understand that faith comes through meeting with Jesus and meeting with Jesus in his word. And Father, help us to be those who are honest with you. Help us to ask the right questions in the right way. And Father, we thank you that you're a God who's so patient with those who have questions and struggles. Help us to be those, Lord, who will bring our questions and our struggles to you. And by reading your truth, wait for your answer. Help us to be courageous like Thomas, who was willing to die and who did die for his Savior. Father, help us to understand that even though we may suffer, the life that counts is a life that's lived for Jesus. And Lord, it's wonderful when those traders went to India, centuries and centuries after Thomas had died. They found those Christian churches which had been built on his work. Lord, wouldn't it be wonderful that many years after we leave this scene of time, there will be a line, Father, of belief and believers who have come from our weak and poor witness, but that was used mightily by you, our God. Grant it, we ask, in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.